Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Donny gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. Donny gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya.
Why am I soft in the middle end? That is a lyric from Paul Simon. I'm not Paul Simon. I'm Pete Donaldson. And this is Luke and Pete Show. How you doing, Luke Mo? What's going on?
Not much, but I'm good and I'm pleased. I always knew you had a soft centre. I just always knew it. I suspected it.
Soft. Do you remember Mr. Soft?
Underbelly.
Do you remember Mr. Soft who used to walk down the street and his entire world was soft? There were cats.
If you watch that again,
there were dogs.
Now,
there were bits of fence that was soft.
If you watch that again now, it is weird.
What do you mean it's weird?
So much of that kind of... Like, there was definitely a period of kids' TV shows in like the 80s where it was like the people who were writing them were high. And I think that Soft Mints advert is probably similar type vibe. It just looks really
weird.
But
it's that priest, it's the sort of thing that nowadays, like the Lerpak man with his big trombone, he'd be CGI now, and he wasn't back then. He was made of, well, plasticine that looked like butter.
Yeah. Was that made by the same studio that made your Morphs?
I don't know. Could it have been the Aardman animation people? You just don't know.
They're doing an advert now, aren't they? The old Aardmans.
What are they selling out?
They're doing a DFS advert. With Wallace
and
Gromit.
Oh, yes, of course, Wallace and Gromit. Look, he's got to make that mad paper somehow, even if he is made of plasticine.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of money to get Aardman to do a Wallace and Gromit advert, I'm telling you.
Do you remember, could they not just copy it? Could they not just do like a B-Jams kind of like down the market version of Wallace and Gromit?
I wouldn't have thought so. There must be some. There's a lot of IP. There'd be a lot
Wallace
of IP
Gromit.
Fucking trademarks there.
It's just this horrible... I'd love to make a little plasticine off-market version of those characters and do a little animation. That'd be a lovely little Luke and Pete Show project.
did you used to like Heartbeat back in the day?
I did, yeah. It was a more gentle experience than something like Art Attack, but Tony Hart could make some amazing stuff. Like, he could make like some really effective, cool pictures with very, very little effort at all. He was such a talented bloke and such a softly spoken, kind of pleasant individual. And yeah, 20, 30 years after his death, he's not been outed as a wrong'un, so I can fully say that
Is he rated as an artist then, Donny? Because you're much more artistically disposed than me.
I think he was rated as being a very talented man. He probably can. I'm fairly certain his stuff sold for decent money in the end. Like those people who bought the Rolf Harris ones and got absolutely mugged off by his crimes.
Yeah, he used to have a permanent exhibition at the West Quay Shopping Centre in Southampton, Rolf Harris. Mm. But lovely. Tony Hart only died in 2009, aged 83. I just looked it up.
Is that true? 2009? Mm. Why did I think I was in college? Oh, might have been Rod Hull. Rod Hull died a little earlier, didn't he? Yeah, never mind.
A different, completely different discipline, though.
What do you mean? Different, same part of my heart. He was an artist. He was an artist. He was just a bit, you know, a bit up, more upfront than old Tony Hart.
But Neil Buchanan in Art Attack was the upstart, was the childish upstart. Tony Hart had a lot more class about him.
He's in a punk band. He was in a punk band. I think he's still in a punk band, actually. Like a kind of hard rock kind of punk band, which is
very enjoyable.
I don't
reckon they'd be very good.
Wasn't that the big shout that Neil Buchanan owned the rights to Art Attack, so he's obviously going to be absolutely minted. It's like, who's buying that IP? Who's buying that IP? It's not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Like, you can translate it, but you may as well make your own version.
Yeah, also it's like, oh yeah, you watch like a countdown show of the top 100 most valuable brands. Number one, Art Attack. Number two, Coca-Cola. Number three, Apple. Art Attack's right up there. Buchanan, just fucking lording it up.
Oh, mate. So, Luke, someone in, basically, in San Francisco, I just watched this video. The internet went down, so while I was setting up the session, or while Natalie, producer Natalie, was setting up the session, I checked out this video. Someone has managed to transport an entire 140-year-old Victorian mansion down the street in San Francisco, and it is the most astonishing sight I've ever seen in my life. I've seen houses being moved before. I'm probably some kind of hydraulic lifts, but they've managed to pick up the entire bloody thing and just move it down the road. And it's cost, it took 6 hours, and it's quick. It's not like a slow kind of like, you know, time-lapse bit of photography of this thing going down the road. People are watching it and they're just kind of steering it around like it's a flatbed
What's
truck
the
or something.
What's the point of it, Donnie?
Well, the home's new neighbour, a former mortuary, was previously moved 12 feet toward the lot line to make room for the New Englander house. So they've had to have moved a former mortuary and they're going to combine it. And yeah, they're just going to convert it into 7 pieces of not social housing, very expensive housing. So yeah.
Right.
It's not as romantic as you think, but it's an incredible kind of undertaking. $400,000 to move a house on a remote controlled hydraulic dolly. Fantastic.
You'd be up for that, wouldn't you?
Oh, it looks, but it looks like a house just going down the road. You remember when was it a school, like a paedophile dressed up as a school in the day to day? It looks like that because it's kind of going down the street, being pulled by a big truck.
If I said to you, here's a voucher for Christmas, a $400,000 voucher for a house moving company, whose house would you move?
Oh, that's a good point. The man down the road who just spends all of his time outside his house. I'd like to move his house when he's out dicking about around outside my house. And then when he comes back, he'd be like, where the fuck's my house gone? I go, well, you should have stayed in it and you would know where it is, prick.
I would better move mine because our cats wouldn't know where to go. I think they get really confused. I think they continually go into the wrong house all the time.
I'd like to move the house forward as the dog's trying to get out. Just move the house a bit more forward.
Keep moving it
and he's
forward.
Just really confused. Going, I swear, I've tried. It's like you're playing Counter Strike and you're glitching because your internet's fucked.
Oh, speaking of lagging. That, I meant to ask you actually, what's the latest with that game that everyone was crazy about that kept having the blokes with their penises out?
Oh, Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. The latest story of that particular sorry tale is that hackers have managed to hack into Project Red's servers and they've got the source code, which is incredibly valuable. I don't know. Some hackers just got involved and they're selling it to the highest bidder. They've already released the source code to Gwent, the most unlovable part of their IP. collection. But yeah, I mean, this is like millions and millions and millions and millions of pounds worth of IP and source code. So yeah, I mean, that is an expensive bit of
Is it fair to say this release hasn't gone as they'd hoped?
I can't help but think that if the release had gone better and they hadn't tried to just release it too early, that they wouldn't have they wouldn't be such a prize for the hackers. But hackers be hacking,
it's remarkable,
I suppose.
Because you know, people work on products and they hope they're well received and they hope they do well. And for every kind of seismic new development like the iPhone, there's always going to be, you know, your Ponos and your creative Zens, right? And it doesn't quite work. But I don't think at any point, despite the fact that Neil Young's Pono was quite poorly received and actually ended up going out of production, I don't think at any point he actually lost the ownership of it and no longer
the
knows where it
board.
Is. Yeah, yeah. That's quite full on.
Because a lot of like video games that were released, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, companies are allowed to re-release them and redo them and upgrade them for later video game systems. But if the source code gets released out into the wild, anyone can do
it. That's it, right?
Anyone can convert it. It's the crown jewels. It's the whole thing. It's what you're buying when you buy something like that. So it's because when you're provided with a video game, It's all in machine code, and it's very hard to reverse engineer that and turn that into something you can modify or change or translate to other systems. Yeah. So it's it's a real dog shit sandwich for them, to be quite frank.
Do you reckon there's a do you reckon there's a source code to the universe?
Where's that come from? Well, that's too big for the Luke and Pete show. What, no, like, it's a, not. Like a formula that creates like a random sort of generation code, like a random hash.
I think that the idea that the universe is a massive computer program is as likely as any other explanation.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other likely solutions to that. There's a lot of different kind of versions of what you're talking about. So it may be just as likely, but there's a lot of other variations on that theme as well.
No, but what I'm saying is that video games, for example, if you use them as the basis for your theory, like video games are getting so good now that it isn't ridiculous to imagine that in 50 years' time, which is the blink of an eye in universal terms, that they will be unrecognizable from reality. Like, you won't be able to distinguish between them.
Did you see the guy with his knob out on that game?
Yeah, I'm not saying we're
there
yet.
Does that look like a polished product to you?
I'm not saying we're there yet. And the very existence of someone like you.
I'm the exception that proves the fact that they were going to be in a video game pretty soon, because I've always got my knob out.
Yeah, I just think it's possible. I just feel I don't see why people turn their noses up at it. I mean, like, it's all very well for people to believe that, you know, the creator of the universe interferes in the universe sometimes and sends his son down to do stuff, who's also himself, and now he doesn't do it anymore, but he might do. And if you read the book and you think about it enough, you'll do this. And if you eat a wafer, you're going to go to heaven. It's all mad. The whole stuff, everything's mad. So why is this even more mad? It's not.
You come out your house, And you see a San Franciscan Victorian home coming towards you down the road. You're probably like, someone's been fucking about with the code here.
So someone's got the source code.
Someone's got the source code and they're messing around. Do you remember we got hacked? One of our their social medias got hacked. Except they didn't. Someone who worked with us just gave them the details through
a
phishing attack.
Don't tell them about our weaknesses and our armoury.
We're very fishable. Yeah. Come on. I mean, he's of age as well, lordy. And I got a text. I don't know how they got my phone number, but I got a text going, "I am Polish hacker, haha, £1,000.
Yeah.
It was and a really silly hacker. Yeah, that's why we got released. We will negotiate with terrorists. So it just made me laugh that they were like, they weren't good enough for us. Like, we got access to it almost immediately, and I didn't pay the money. So it just we're so lucky that we got a bad hacker.
Speaking of giving away money, I read a story the other day that there's a guy. Well, they say it's a mystery man. I mean, I suppose it could be a woman, but the police are looking for a mystery man who has been hanging around the town of Frome in Somerset. Do you know it?
I don't know Somerset well. Yeah, Somerset
is a beautiful
lovely
part of the world.
Waiting for Glastonbury to start.
Say again.
Waiting for Glastonbury to start.
It's not too far from Glastonbury, to be honest. It's not too far. You might wait a while for Glastonbury now, though, because I don't think it's going to be this summer, is it? So you're looking at another year and a bit. But anyway, I remember when Glastonbury was like, you got the piss taken out of you for going to Glastonbury. And now it's the most fashionable thing in the world. Like, people used to think you were a crusty, kind of unwashed hippie if you went to Glastonbury. Most people didn't even know what Glastonbury was in the 90s. No. And now they did, but you know what I mean? No one went. And not in the mainstream. And that's the most mainstream thing possible. Anyway, I digress. In Frome, which isn't too far from Glastonbury, well pointed out, there is a man who has been posting cash through random letterboxes, saying the statement was that Frome neighbourhood policing team have received reports of a male, posting sums of money and letters through doors in the community. We are keen to speak to this male and ascertain the reasoning behind this act.
Didn't Britney Spears do that?
Is it a crime?
Mario Balotelli did it. Britney Spears did it. I watched the Britney Spears documentary last week. And
Jesse Pinkman did it in Breaking Bad.
Did he? Okay, right.
He used to drive around neighbours, chucking money out the sunroof.
Well, there you go. Well, look, I mean, They outside Oscars on York Road in Hartlepool, they used to have seats in the window. Whenever you used to, there was a football match on, people used to glue pound coins to the pavement outside Oscars.
Yeah,
and the lads would drink a beer and have a little giggle. You know, yeah, people and, trying to and, kick the things over.
Well, there's precedent for this happening, apparently. Up in County Durham, this has happened before. Packets of banknotes up to £2,000 at a time started cropping up all over the place, apparently. And then there was an investigation. I'm not really sure why the police are involved, but anyway, they were in this case as well. And then these two people came forward and said it was them. Yeah, I bet it was. I'd tell you it was me as well. Lovely bit of press.
Is that tax deductible?
Well, this is the thing. I don't really know what the protocol is. I do remember, however, finding I think a £20 note when I was about 14, and being told by almost certainly my mum, my dad would never have told me to do this, said I would take it into the police station. I took it to the police station, got a little receipt and a crime reference number, whatever it is, and they said if no one claims it in 6 months, you can have it. And 6 months later, I was able to have £20.
I'm glad you remembered.
Yeah, well, listen, £20 when you're 14 is quite a lot of money.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't, I mean, to me, it's not a crime. I don't know what the police are involved. Just let people get on with
it. Well, I think, yeah, but I think you've got to think, well, what could this be related to? A crime, money laundering, there's, you know, trying to, maybe it's forgeries, maybe it's this,
so
maybe
I think
it's that.
So, Pete, I think under UK anti-money laundering law, if you've got an amount of money that's more than 10 grand, I think you under law, I think you have to be able to explain where it's come from.
Yeah. Did you see that woman who was in and out of Harrods buying this and that? And she lived over the road, I think. And she, I think it was the first time they just had a lot of money confiscated.
That's right. Wasn't she the wife of some despot, though?
Yes. Yeah. It was pretty obvious where the money had come from.
Yeah. But she kept spending money in Harrods. And they just, after a while, they said, look, you just spent £1 million. We want to know where that's come from. She's like, mind your own business. And that, and then they nicked her.
We'll have that then.
Yeah.
It seems amazing that a country just go, nah, we're having that. Thank you very much. you can't explain where the money came from.
I suppose the world is so complicated these days that I guess it has to happen. But I can imagine it's a kind of law that 100 years ago, you'd be like, get fucked. Mind your own business. But you think?
I'd be like, I don't have to explain where that money comes from. I've just got to tell you that I'm making shitloads out of computers. So yeah, it's fine. Exactly.
should we do some battery brands and then go to a break? I just want to get these battery brands done because we do them every Thursday. And then we can have a little break and then we'll do some emails. So cool. Adam on Twitter sent in a DMEGC battery, which he claims is quite possibly the most boring battery brand ever. But I don't think we've seen it before, so I think it might be a new player.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't think I'm not familiar with that one, to be honest.
Fergie on Twitter sent in some Tinco batteries.
Tinco? Is that like Tenco, the TV show from the 80s? Wow.
Yeah, but with an I, and I think they're new players as well. Mm. Has on Twitter sent in some Pear Deer. We've seen loads of them. They're not they're not a new player. So two new players and one non-new player, but thank you for sending them in. You get them all the time when you buy new electronic goods, and we're always looking for new ones. I think there's probably more brands of batteries than there are of anything else in the world.
I mean, every electrical component has a little brand to it, so fair dues. I would call mine Nasty Cells. Like, get a bit of sex appeal in there, like Nasty Cells.
Nasty Cell.
Nasty Cells. It's like Duracells, but Nasty Cells.
Yeah, I like that. I'd definitely buy them.
For your nastiest machines.
I don't think you'd get much brand loyalty out of that.
No, nobody wants to admit they're buying nasty cells.
If you're
going to
brand a battery, you want it to sound sensible, responsible, long-lasting.
All right.
You know.
Nasty cell basic. Nasty cell budget.
Yeah, nasty cell basics. That's what we should have called this show.
Well, we are two incels in a room, I suppose.
Yeah. Are we incels? Would you think if we were young, we'd be incels?
If by reputation, if not by actual, I didn't have much success with the ladies, so yeah, probably would be a bit of an incel.
I didn't either, but
I hated myself more than anyone else, though, to be honest.
I appear to get a lot of attention from incels on the internet, so I'm wondering if they see something of me in themselves.
In you. They smell of a kinship,
yeah. Maybe I'm king incel,
yeah, exactly. All anyway. Right, then. We'll be back after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the Luke and Pete Show, Luke introduced me to some bizarre animal warfare.
In the 70s, there was a... I can't remember going to say this, but I promise you it's true. There was a war, an actual war, between rival chimpanzee clans that went on for over 4 years.
Meanwhile, on abroad in Japan, Chris is facing off against a natural disaster.
So the same day that I'd run out of fuel, right, I was like, well, I made it in one piece. Thank you, God. And then, like, 5 hours later, the worst earthquake I've ever experienced. It was a 15-storey building shaking from side to side. It went on so long, I was like, this hotel's coming down, and I don't want to be in it when it does.
Listen to Abroad in Japan and the Luke and Pete Show available on your favourite podcast player.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
And we weren't lying. We're back after this. How are you doing? It's the Luke and Pete Show. Oh, oh. If you want to get to the show, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. I'm the junkyard dog. Thump. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is my email. Oh, dear. And check us out on Twitter as well, at Luke and Pete Show as well. Natalie's always popping this and that up there. Little videos of us in our bedrooms talking about being in cells and battery brands. Nasty cells. The cells you can trust to be nasty.
We've got an email here from Chris. He's emailed this in at hello@lukeandpeteshow.com, and he says, hi guys, I'm studying my master's degree in audio technology, but as a day job I teach music, and I realized recently that one of the more popular music exam boards has started to offer graded exams in podcasting. All the way from debut grade to grade 8. He says, do you lads reckon you could do your grade 8 exam in podcasting? Might be good for the CV if this podcasting for you goes tits up. All the best, Chris.
What? I mean, they'd literally just ask one question and I'd fail immediately. What's the iTunes podcast chart? I don't fucking know. I don't know how
it's
you
not
get
even
up the
called iTunes anymore.
Is it not? All right.
It's called Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcast chart.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it takes to get really high on those charts. It's inexplicable.
apart from the idea that I understand you could, teach about audio and how to record it and all the tech stuff, which would basically come along as part of a standard kind of, you know, audio degree anyway. I have no idea what you're teaching in podcasting. I mean, to me, that seems absolutely absurd.
But I mean, I guess it's a specialized form of audio, and there are different ways. I guess it kind of would it'd be one of those kind of courses, and it was the same as my course at De Montfort University, where it was just I was doing animation, I was doing life drawing, I was doing watercolors, and then I was doing hardcore SQL database management and programming and Java server pages and stuff. All they do is they just make a course from millions of different places, and they just take a module from here, and they call it a podcast course. So it'll be audio production, narrative storytelling, all that business, how to mic up a human when they can't mic up themselves, and all that stuff. Really, I suppose it'd be like that. That's what I would do if I was a university dean.
Well, if it's any consolation to any of you listening out there who want to do a successful podcast. I mean, everything Pete's just described there, I understood probably 50% of it, and I can't do any of it. So don't let it hold you back, is what I would say.
Yeah. I'm grade 8 violin. Grade 1 violin, grade 8 podcasting.
Yeah. I've also got another email here that I'd like to do about. It actually follows up on something you said on Monday, how it works out in China with podcasting. But it's from Tom, who is also known to our regular listeners and to the Luke and Pete Show community as Dildo Dad Man.
Dildo Dad Man, yes, yeah. Come on.
Go back and listen to an earlier episode where he found a big dildo in his dad's bedside table. Tom says, hi, finally a topic I can bring something useful to. The only previous email of mine was regarding my dad's dildo, so it's nice to put that one to bed, metaphorically speaking.
Oh no! Devastating bad dildo.
I mean, Tommy, please do give us an update on that. I mean, for goodness' sake, yeah. You can just chuck that out there. Let us know what's happened with it. Jesus,
let's make a big podcast about it. My dad's got a dildo. Come on,
yeah,
brilliant.
It would. My dad's got a dildo. It would work really well.
Yeah,
yeah. In the most recent episode, Tom says you started discussing China and Apple stores. He says I've been living and working in Chengdu for a couple of years now with a lovely girlfriend that I have access to. Luke correctly pointed out there was a huge number of fake Apple stores spread all over China. In Chengdu, there's an Apple store on every street. However, there is only one official Apple store in the city. The part that Luke got wrong lies in the quality. It becomes very clear that these shops are fake when most of the stuff they sell is not actually Apple at all. And I've even seen examples where Apple is not spelt correctly on the shop front. So there are many examples of this throughout China, such as the well-known brands New Balance and Nike instead of Nike. It's very strange that English, both correct and incorrect, can be seen everywhere throughout China, even though no one really speaks it. And Tom says, my girlfriend told me that the English words come with a perception of higher brand prestige, basically. He says, my final point is regarding your listenership in China. I've been a listener since the beginning and listened to pretty much everything from Stakhanov. So thanks for helping to fill my days. I've managed to pass the podcast on to at least 5 other listeners, so I can confirm you have at least a handful in China. But as Pete correctly pointed out, a VPN is usually required, as a huge number of well-known sites such as BBC, Google and Wikipedia are completely blocked. Interestingly, to Stakhanov, though, most other shows, such as the Football Ramble, can be accessed without the use of a VPN. However, the Luke and Pete Show has been blacklisted and does require VPN usage. This means a government official was listening to a show probably about Pete's nipples, strange dads, and live consumption of Nintendo Switch games, and thought, no way, this will really poison the mind of our 1.4 billion citizens. Keep up the great work, Tom.
I mean, I would say that how can we get it back? Because on the last show, somebody reported that you didn't need a VPN to listen to the Luke and Pete show, which is very interesting. So maybe it varies from prefecture to prefecture. And I just like the fact that we would have to get back into the good books of the CCP with just basically, you know, they do, you know, when they re-edit, or rather nowadays, pretty much every Hollywood film has a third act or a second act that's set in China, or they put Chinese actors in there. Yeah. And we never see that over in England or the West. We just have to have the Luke and Pete and Chinese block show. So yeah, we'll just, to get back into their good book, so we don't have to be accessed by VPN, we'll just have this kind of really handsome, devastatingly kind of interesting, and actually this all sounds great, really handsome, interesting, yeah, exciting, talented Chinese man, and yeah, we'll a woman, and yeah, we'll get back in their good book. So put that on the slate, Natalie, and yeah, we'll find a Chinese.
Can you get that sorted for next week, please, Natalie?
Can you find us?
Can I ask a really basic question? That is, do the Chinese and the Japanese not like each other very much? Is there a rivalry?
There's a certain animosity, yeah.
No, but I know there has been in the past, but does it still prevail to this day?
Yeah. I mean, my experience of Japanese exceptionalism, or perceived self-exceptionalism, extends to the Koreans, the Taiwanese, right, everyone.
Well, because I was just thinking,
the Singaporeans.
If we're eating Nintendo Switch games, surely perhaps the CCP might see that as a positive.
Oh, well, like it's like book burning. We're eating, yeah, a copy of like Super Mario Brothers.
We're consuming like some of Japan, consuming the products of, yes, Japan's most successful export.
Yeah, but fundamentally, we've filled their coffers already. So
that's true. Can I just read one more? I know I've done a lot, but I just really want to read one more email, because I don't want this to go by the wayside, because it's a really good one. It's from Craig.
Luke, I have always been London Radio's greatest sidekick, so or one of the top 10. So
we've
just
never got
the
to the bottom of who's the sidekick on this show ever.
Yeah, well, I don't know. When it goes badly, it's you. When it goes badly, it's me. When it goes well, you're the sidekick, and I'm very much the driving seat.
I think I'm the identikit kind of loudmouth. I think that people listen for you, really. So I think I'm probably the sidekick, to be honest. I'm the conduit that provides the listeners with the peak they've got access to, I think.
I'm the Pete they've got access to. Yeah. That's a title for a podcast. The Pete they've got, or the pod they've got access to. Nice. Yeah. Like
people
it.
Love having access to the bit of the Donny. Anyway, this is from Craig. It's an interesting one. He says, I was listening to one of your Football Ramble episodes where Luke was discussing sports players who've been injured or suffered a dislocation and then popped that particular part of their body back in and carried on. Right? I know you don't like this, which is why I'm reading it. But I don't know if you were on that show, Pete, but I talked about the golfer Tony Finau. Do you remember he popped his ankle back in?
Yeah, it was.
I sent you the video and you hated it.
Yeah, I hated it. But he was so businesslike about it. He's like, that's not supposed to be there. It was like he was just readjusting a spice rack. He's right back in there.
He said, but Craig goes on to say the Tony Finau example is a good one, but there's a sportsman he thinks that takes popping it back in to another level. And Craig picks up the story by saying, let me introduce you to Wayne Thomas Buck Shelford. Buck captained the All Blacks in the late 80s and was known generally for being a seriously hard bastard. He was also controversially dropped from the All Blacks in the early 90s, which caused uproar among the New Zealand public and prompted signs being held up in the crowd of all the All Blacks games saying, bring back Buck. And you can actually still see these signs often held up at sporting events today. He said, Buck gained his reputation as a hard bastard during his debut for the All Blacks against France in the famous Battle of Nantes, which was a particularly brutal game. 20 minutes in, Buck was caught at the bottom of a ruck and an errant French boot tore his scrotum open, leaving his testicle hanging out, and he also lost 4 teeth in the process. He calmly asked a physio to stitch him back up and pop it back in, and he returned to the field of play. Unfortunately, he was forced off after a blow to the head later on, which caused a concussion. But I believe this testicle action to be the ultimate popping it back in. Big love, Craig.
I don't think I've ever seen the inside of a testicle. And I don't, or rather the inside of a scrotum.
Like a little stress ball.
Two little brains.
Two little brains,
it's just little pipes in it. It's like a little... It's like a very complex radiator.
You know those little cocktail shots you used to get called a brain drain or something, where you'd pour a little bit of Bailey's into a Midori and it would look like a little brain.
Oh, it would start to congeal, right?
I reckon
I see.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
People should email in, actually. Anyone who's listening, whether you're male, female, whether you've got access to testicles or not, let us know what you think the inside of a scrotum looks like.
it would just be like little wires and little pipes. It would look like, you know, when BT engineers open those little green things
in
the street.
Yes, it would be like that. But not,
just
not as
wires
colourful.
Going hither and thither and sort of going, well, look, if one of those becomes unplugged, I wouldn't know how to get that back in or where it would go.
But it wouldn't be as colourful as that, would it?
No, it wouldn't smell of dog piss either, hopefully.
Yours might. Pete, how often do you check the old testicles? How often do you have access to the testicles?
I don't know whether that's I've got a little sunroof that I gaze
little
in
flat.
Shine my phone light in there and have a little look. I don't really do it as often as I could, but to be honest, I'm always sitting on them. I always getting caught in things and they hurt. And so I'm only ever aware of them when I'd sit on them or I wake up and I've been wearing. I wear small boxer shorts and I don't think I'm small anymore. So they're just constantly just aching.
Yes, so this is the problem.
Which is a warning sign.
So basically, I think they get baggier the older you get. And also I think that you want to get a pant that keeps them in place but doesn't restrict them too much, because I think there's probably a little bit. So apparently there's a bit of an epidemic brewing in terms of infertility in men, particularly in the West.
Tight trousers, skinny jeans.
Could be to do with that. So you've got to be careful. You don't want to go too tight, but you also don't want to go too loose because for the reasons you've listed. So yeah, listen, anyone's got any testicle chat, email in hello@lukeandpeteshow.com and we'll advance this debate.
Yes, please.
We'll add to the historiography of this debate.
Well, we've come to the end of another show. Sorry, it ended on testicles. Enjoy editing that. Producer Natalie!
That's the best ending we've done since that 5 minutes we did on dog shit.
It really is. If you want to get in touch with the show, it's really simple. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. You can find us on Instagram @lukeandpeteshow, where you can also find us just dicking about on Twitter as well, @lukeandpeteshow. Just remember, @lukeandpeteshow, and you'll be fine, guys. You'll be fine.
Good point.
Yeah, we'll be back on Monday for more of this. See you later. Have a lovely weekend. Look after yourselves.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.